Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. This week, our program is all about the Civil War in a new film and museum shows, and music from the new band, The Civil Wars. The United States is holding events in remembrance of the 150th anniversary of the start of the Civil War. And Hollywood is also taking a look. A new film from director Robert Redford explores the plot that resulted in the murder of President Abraham Lincoln. Mario Ritter has more.
On April 14, 1865, a gunshot is fired at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. The bullet hits President Abraham Lincoln. He dies within hours. The shooter is John Wilkes Booth, an actor. He is angry about the freeing of slaves and the South's loss in the Civil War. But John Wilkes Booth did not carry out the assassination alone. The new film, The Conspirator, tells the story many Americans do not know about. The action surrounds the military trial of Mary Surratt, one of the accused plotters, and the mother of another.
I am a Southerner and a devoted mother, but I am no assassin.
Robin Wright plays Mary Surratt. She says the movie is about more than facts.
It's about humanity, not so much about, you know, historical evidence. It's a real piece about human behavior.
Mary Surratt was a businesswoman in the 1860s. She operated a boarding house, a home where visitors stayed. Her boarding house, however, was also used by her son and several other people as a meeting place to plot the murder of the president. All the plotters have been arrested except her son, who has disappeared. A lawyer named Frederick Aiken decides to defend Mary Surratt. He does not necessarily think she is innocent, but he hopes to make sure she gets a fair trial. James McAvoy is Aiken.
Mary, you have to tell us where your son is.
Us? I have to tell us? Whose side are you on?
I'm trying to defend you.
By suggesting I trade my son for myself?
Historian Fred Borsch was an expert advisor to the filmmakers.
What I think the movie is trying to do is to show you that, guilt or innocence aside, she didn't get a fair trial, and neither did the others. Because the government was so afraid that if they didn't stomp on this conspiracy, that there might be more attacks by the Confederates coming.
The first showing of The Conspirator was to a group gathered at the same theater where President Lincoln was killed. Director Robert Redford says he hopes the movie will make people think of the assassination in a new way.
I've never deluded myself into thinking that films change anybody's opinion or has an impact that's going to change policy or anything like that, but I would think that being aware of what happened and seeing how that process has repeated itself might strike a chord. I would hope so.
Today, President Abraham Lincoln approved an order for the services of 75,000 militiamen. It was just a little over a month since he had taken office, and it was 3 days after the Confederate Army of the Southern States attacked Federal forces at Fort Sumter, South Carolina. The American Civil War had begun. Slave John Washington wrote about the situation in his hometown of Fredericksburg, Virginia. The war was getting hotter every day. The town was now filled with rebel soldiers, and their outrages and dastardly acts toward the colored people cannot be told. It became dangerous to be out at night. The whites was hastening their slaves off to safer places of refuge. A great many slave men were sent into the rebel army as drivers, cooks, hostlers, and anything else they could do. John Washington was among almost 1,300 slaves in Fredericksburg. There were about 420 free blacks and more than 3,300 whites. The stories of many of these men and women and their experiences during the Civil War can be found at the Fredericksburg Area Museum and Cultural Center. The stories are part of a permanent exhibit called Fredericksburg at War. And in another show called Letters and Diaries of the Civil War, that show continues through July. Sarah Poor is the Director of Education and Public Programs at the museum. On Tuesday, she led about 30 eighth graders from a school in North Carolina on their visit to the Civil War exhibits. She told them how it was that slave John Washington could write his memoirs.
If the law to teach a slave to read and write unless it had something to do with religion, then you could teach him to read the Bible. John Washington's mother taught him to read and write when he was a young boy.
On April 18th, 1862, Union soldiers started moving into Fredericksburg. Sarah Poor describes what happened.
They could be seen across the river, the Rappahannock River. John Washington recorded that moment. He said, "The glistening bayonets of the Union Army can be seen. I am sure of my freedom now. All the white people are in the streets scared. All the manservants are on the rooftops, joyous that freedom is near."
Then Sarah Poor gives the students more to think about with words from a white Fredericksburg resident, Maureen Breckenridge.
She wrote in her diary, "The Union soldiers are near. We will be destroyed. They will take our land. They will take our property. We are all full of fear." Two very different perspectives of the exact same event.
Sarah Poor told the students to remember these different images as they went through the exhibit. She said the military action of the Civil War is very important. But she said the experiences of civilians affected by the conflict were central to understanding the period in American history. During the Union occupation of Fredericksburg, thousands of escaped slaves fled through Virginia on their way north. W.W. Wright was an engineer and superintendent of military railroads at the time. He wrote about the fleeing slaves in an official military document.
"During the last 2 days, the contrabands fairly swarmed about the Fredericksburg and Falmouth stations, and there was a continuous black line of men, women, and children moving north along the road, carrying all their worldly goods on their heads. Every train running to Aquia was crowded with them. They all seemed to have perfect confidence that if they could only get within our lines, they would be taken care of somehow. I think it is safe to estimate the number of contrabands that have passed by this route since we took possession of the road at 10,000.
John Washington was among the fleeing slaves. In a recording at the Fredericksburg Museum and Cultural Center, an actor reads from Washington's life story.
"A most memorable night was the soldiers assured me that I was a free man. Before morning, I had began to feel like I had truly escaped from the hands of the slave master. And with the help of God, I would never be a slave no more. I felt for the first time in my life that I could now claim every cent that I should work for as my own. Life had a new joy awaiting me.
We talked with Sarah Poor about visitors' reactions to the Civil War exhibits. She said what surprises them most is when she states firmly that the Civil War was, in fact, about the fight over slavery. She says states' rights, economic and social inequalities between the South and North, and other issues were debated. But Sarah Poor says major historical documents clearly show that slavery was the central issue of dispute. Musicians Joy Williams and John Paul White are The Civil Wars. Their first album, Barton Hollow, is number 2 on Billboard magazine's folk rock chart. One newspaper calls the musical connection between Williams and White seriously joyful. Catherine Cole has more.
There's a note underneath your front door that I wrote 20 years ago. Yellow paper and a faded picture and a secret and an envelope.
That is 20 years. The first song on the Civil War's first album, Barton Hollow. Joy Williams and Paul John White have known each other for only a few years. They met on a music writing project in Los Angeles. On the Civil War's website, Paul John White says his connection with Joy Williams was immediate. It was, he says, like we'd been in a family band or something for most of our lives. Joy Williams had been singing Christian music until she met White. She told the Los Angeles Times newspaper that she has found new creative freedom working with him. She says now she knows she can write about any subject. My Father's Father is a moving song about a return to one's roots.
Something hanging on the wind. I see black smoke up around the bend. I got my ticket and I'm going to go. Home.
John Paul White comes from Alabama. Joy Williams is a native Californian. Now the two live and work in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. We leave you with I've Got a Friend from the Civil War's album, Barton Hollow.
I've got this friend. I don't think you know him. He's not much for words. His head and his heart away.
I'm Doug Johnson. Our program was written by Julie Tabo and Katie Weaver, who was also the producer. Join us again next week for Music and More on American Mosaic in VOA Special English.